You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Thanks for joining us here on this Monday. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano, we greet you here today. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Monday with us as we together all sit under the authority of the Word of God. Thanks for joining us. This is WGOD. God is always broadcasting. Let's tune into His frequency here now today. The Word is going to come out of the book of Revelation. That's where we're at today, starting a new church today. And this is the last of the seven churches, the lukewarm church of Laodicea. This will wrap up here tomorrow on Tuesday. Then you'll hear my sermon from Sunday. And we're going through the book of Acts at Island on Sunday mornings, verse by verse. We were in chapter 17. We were just looking at the greatest sermon probably ever preached. My two ranked greatest sermons ever by someone other than the Son of God is Peter at Cornelius's house. To him, all the prophets bear witness that whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sin. And the Holy Spirit fell on everyone who heard the word. That is in the top two. And then Paul's sermon on what's known as Mars Hill, the Areopagus. These times of ignorance God has overlooked or winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. That's what we'll hear here on Wednesday and Thursday. Okay, let's get into the Word. We're looking at the book of Revelation. We're looking at this lukewarm church, the church that has one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. And Jesus says, when you're lukewarm, you just make him want to vomit. He can take it if you're cold. He'd wish that you were hot, but oh, there's nothing worse than being lukewarm. That's where we're at here today. Enjoy today's message. Okay, we're looking at the lukewarm church of Laodicea. Everyone's got one of these, I presume. Okay, the lukewarm church, that's where we're at. We're at the last of the seven churches here today, Laodicea. Now, this church has gone down in history known as the lukewarm church. So how did the church get to this point? What went wrong? We're going to answer that question here this morning. Now, we just had an open door that no man can shut only 1 week ago. But today, Jesus tells this pastor that he makes him want to vomit. Only in just 1 week we've gone to this. Now, this pastor's method of doing ministry, that is, adapting the service to please the unbelievers, makes Jesus sick. Not mentioning sin. You see, that's a foot in the kingdom, a foot in the world. You're not going to mention sin because you don't want to offend the people in the church. You don't want to offend the outsiders. Well, guess what? This is not a house for unbelievers. This is the house of God, for the people of God. We sing songs like that. Were you there when they crucified the Lord? That's what we do here, to draw everyone closer to him. It's supposed to be different. It's supposed to feel different. So the lukewarm church, not the dead church, they were dead.
Not the church from last week that had an open door that no man can shut. No, this church is a little bit Christian and a little bit worldly. Here's the best definition for lukewarm I've ever heard. Something is lukewarm when it's the same temperature as its surroundings. Like my coffee that's been sitting in my cup too long. I despise lukewarm coffee. Reheat it. Put it in the microwave if you have to. Top it off. Add a little more hot to it. Or you can do what the donut shop does. He blesses that too. Throw a little ice in the thing. Make iced coffee with it. But don't leave it like it is, all tepid and nasty. Who drinks lukewarm coffee? I know you do. You cannot hide. You don't care, a cowboy coffee. He'll go outside his horse and put it on some coals and one of them old black cast iron coffee, right? I know it. Other than him, who drinks lukewarm coffee? It makes him sick. Not the coffee, but the church. That's lukewarm. Makes them sick. Now, please turn with me to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Let me set the table first so that we can fully understand both the Lord's message to this church, Laodicea, as well as the Lord's message to the lukewarm church of today. Now, this church of Laodicea is extremely wealthy and prosperous. These guys were rich. Now, there's the first problem right off the bat. Let's pray before we go any further than this. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name, Almighty God. We listen for your voice. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. We say to you, Lord, is it I? Am I lukewarm? Have I just been going through the motions? We've learned to say that and not, boy, my neighbor's lukewarm. But is it I? We listen for you. Holy Spirit of God, move in us now here this morning. We listen for you. Speak to us through your word. Lord, we praise your holy name here, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These guys were rich here in this town. Now, that's the first problem, like I said, right off the bat, because the Lord Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And this city had three particular claims to fame. Write them down. Three things this city was known for. Number one, a financial and banking center. So we could say banking. Number two, a clothing manufacturing center. So number two is clothing. Number three, the location of a famous medical school renowned for the eye salve which it produced. So banking, clothing, eye salve. Keep that in mind as we go through the Lord's addressing of the lukewarm church. Now keep this in mind as we go through this, because the Lord is going to use all three of their strengths that they think is a strength, and he's going to turn them into weaknesses, because he can do that. He's God. That's what he does. And he can do it to you, and he can do it to me as well. Turn what you think is a strength into a weakness. Maybe he'd say to me, Esposito, you're a rotten pastor and a bad preacher. And then he hit me where it really hurts and say, you're a bad Bible translator and you stink on the radio. Solana, you're a bad teacher, a bad worship leader, and you cut a rotten lawn. Talk about hitting someone where it hurts. That's what he did to the pastor. They thought because they had money, everything was great. Because of the people that were there in the church, all the money, they gave a whole wing to the children. Hey, everything's got to be great. And he says, no, it's not. What you think is your strong point actually is your weak. It's your weak point. It's not your strength. So Jesus is going to do the same thing here with his pastors and actually with the strong points of the city. What you think is good is actually bad. Now let's dig here into this. Let's seek the Lord's wisdom with this. Now let's pick it up again. We're in verse 14. Now, to the messenger of the church in Laodicea, right? These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. All right, so these things says the Amen. Now, again, to each of these seven churches, the Lord starts off with a reference of himself. And here he uses three descriptive phrases regarding his identity. First, he calls himself the Amen. And Amen means, so be it. Amen. Sometimes translated in your Bible, verily, verily, if you have a King James Version. Some translations say, most assuredly. That's the Greek word, Amen, and the Hebrew word, Amen. Twice, back to back, Amen, Amen. Amen, Amen. Lego human is verily, verily, I say unto you. So he is the Amen. The final word. He is the great, so be it. E.F. Hutton, eat your heart out. He is the one. These things says the end all. The final authority. The Lord Jesus. It begins and it ends with him. When he speaks, the birds hush their singing. Thus says the Amen. Secondly, he calls himself the faithful and true witness. The faithful and true witness. These things says the final word, the final authority, the faithful and the true witness. Now, there's no other one you'd want on the witness stand other than the Son of God if you belong to him. He's faithful. He's the true witness. As opposed to many false witnesses. Every which way you turn, there's false witnesses out here. The Lord Jesus is the true witness. He's the true witness to what he's seen, and he shares it with you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. So that where I am, there you may be also. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, puts his hand on a Bible, raises the other one, and he's a faithful witness, and he's a true witness. And he's promising you that he has gone, that there's many mansions up in heaven, and he's gone to prepare a place just for you. And when he comes back, he's going to paralambano, that is, receive you out of this world. That's good news. He is the faithful witness. He's the true witness, a true witness to what he's seen. He says, those that harm children, they'd be better off if a millstone was tied around their neck and they'd be cast into the sea where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. He's a true witness to hell. He talks more about hell than he does about heaven. He's a faithful witness and he's the true witness. Third, he calls himself the beginning of the creation of God. What does that mean? Now, this is one of those texts that the Jehovah's Witnesses just love to use to deceive people. This is where they'll point in their Bibles. If you are foolish enough to let them into your house, when the Bible says don't even greet them, don't bid them Godspeed, because he who bids them Godspeed is a partaker of their evil deeds. Don't let them into your house. Don't let them infect you. They got a virus. Don't let them in. Don't let them in. But they use this text where it says he is the beginning of the creation of God. That's what the Lord calls himself. Now, again, if you're not careful, you'd fall into this trap that the Son of God was a created being, like the Jehovah's Witnesses say. So this word for beginning is the Greek word arche, which also means pioneer, trailblazer, head, chief, or my favorite, and probably what he means here, ruler. Capital R, ruler. It's even a proper name here. Notice in your King James Bible, the B is capitalized in your King James Bible, meaning it's a proper name. Beginning. So when Jesus calls himself the beginning of the creation of God, a better translation would be, he is the ruler of the creation of God, not a created being. Let's prove that. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. See, if you were made the mistake and let the Jehovah's Witnesses into your house and you share this verse with them, they will run out of your house shrieking for dear life. And then they'll put a big circle on your house and they'll warn everyone at Kingdom Hall to stay away from you. When you actually know where to go to defend this, by golly, you don't get out your pastor's business card.
Oh, well, call my pastor. He'll tell you.
No, you guys need to know how to defend this. Jesus Christ is not a created being. He is the ruler over all creation. Savvy? That is. It's his truth. I'm just sharing it. I'm just declaring it to you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Apostle Paul writing about Jesus. He says he is the icon or image. Remember what icon means. It's an exact representation of an original. Like John F. Kennedy on a 50-cent piece. Or if you're really old, Dwight D. Eisenhower on a $1 piece. That's an image of Eisenhower. Now, Jesus, Paul said, is the image of the invisible God. I'm in Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn. There's another problem. Firstborn, that Greek word prototokos means preeminent. Preeminent. He is preeminent over all creation. That's why he said, I am the resurrection. He is Lord. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He is preeminent over all and everything and everyone. The firstborn over all creation. Verse 16, listen to what this text says about Jesus. By him, some things were created. All. By him, all things are created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. Who is, look what it says, who is the beginning, the arche, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's what he means. But he is not a created being. He's Lord of all. Remember John 1:1, it says, on arche, on ho logos. In the beginning was the Word. You find out when the beginning is, and you'll find out that Jesus has always been there. You're not going to find when he was created, because he's not created, because he's God. My Lord, Thomas said, and my God. And he bowed down and called him God, because he is God. He's God the Son. Don't let these people deceive you. Remember what Jesus said last week? Hold fast what you have so that no one can what? Steal your crown. These Jehovah's Witnesses want to steal your crown. Don't let them do that. All right, well, back again where we were. So Jesus Christ is Lord. This is his church. He is the head. Through him, all things were created. For him, all things were created. He is the Amen. He is the faithful and the true witness. That is, when he puts his hand down and his other hand up, You can take to the bank what he tells you. It's true. He's faithful. He is true. You'll always hear the truth from him. Boy, where do we get to the end of this? And hear this promise that he has, even to the lukewarm church. There's still hope for you if you're in a lukewarm church. And, okay, he is the ruler of the creation of God, not the first thing made. So don't fall for that ignorant lie that Jesus Christ was a created. You're just misunderstanding what this Greek word means. All right, verse 15. He says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. All right, so why doesn't he just say, I wish you were cold or hot? Why does he say, I could wish? Well, this is an interjection containing an unattainable wish. In other words, this ain't going to happen, would be a modern vernacular. Or if it would make a difference either way, I could wish that you were cold or hot. If it would do any good, I could wish that you were cold or hot. So what describes the lukewarm, what describes the church for today? Lukewarm. The end times church. Now remember, I said you could find yourself in any one of these seven types of churches. It's already been established last week. We are part of the faithful church that the Lord has set before us an open door for ministry that no man can shut, no demon can shut. But the church that's going to be in operation, we believe, when the Lord comes back is this one. That's why it's listed last of the seven. Lukewarm, the same temperature as your surroundings. The church, get this, the church was influenced by the community instead of the community being influenced by the church. Like bingo or Halloween parties. Go to some other house if you want to have that. Not here. This is God's house. Don't co-mingle these two things together. Makes the glory of God leave the building. The church was influenced by the community instead of the community being influenced by what goes on inside this church here. Having one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, this condition just makes the Lord, according to his own words, this just makes him want to vomit. Like lukewarm coffee. It makes them sick. You pretending to play church while remaining a friend of this evil world makes them sick to his stomach. Now, my old Thompson Chain reference Bible describes this spiritual condition as half-heartedness. Half-hearted. A few questions then naturally would only be natural. And that is, what is half-heartedness? Number two, what makes a person half-hearted? Number three, what is the solution if I'm infected? If I'm infected with this, what do I do? Let's look at that. Now remember what I've been teaching, again, this entire series, although these seven churches represent the seven ages of the church will go through until the Lord returns. You could find yourself in any one of these seven types of churches out here in the world today. Or if you're listening in on the radio here today, on this Monday, and you hear this on the radio, you could find yourself in a lukewarm church that's got a foot in the kingdom and a foot in the world that lets and allows sin in the door. And you have bingo on Tuesday night. And instead of calling something Halloween, we'll change the name of it so I don't offend all you legalists out there. Oh, Fall Festival is what it is. Now, Jesus said the lukewarm church is neither hot in their service for Christ nor cold. Because the cold would be the dead church. We looked at them already. But lukewarm, where your service and attitude can be labeled half-heartedness. What is half-heartedness? Well, I can remember as a kid growing up saying grace. Oh, boy, we hated to say grace as a kid. And God is great, God is good, we thank him for our food, amen. Really? Now, anyone could find themselves doing that one day, but when that describes you as a lifestyle, you've lost it. You've lost your zeal for the Lord. When you every day go through life that way, you're half-hearted. You've lost it. So, what is half-heartedness? Now, before that, again, here's the verses. Romans 3:15. He says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot, like my coffee. So then, because you are lukewarm, or the same temperature as your surroundings, or because you are a tepid Christian and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Look at that. It's in your Bible. He says it, not me. He's telling you this makes them sick. So, what is half-heartedness? Again, as the word suggests, better yet, it's going through the motions. It's putting your hands into service for the Lord, but not putting your heart into your service for the Lord. Don't waste your time. He can handle it even if you don't even do it. Don't waste your time. Don't put your hand into it and not your heart. And now you see, here's the problem here revealed in verse 17. It says, because you say, look at this. Of course, money's going to come into it now. Money, you see, sometimes you run the risk when you got a lot of money. You say, I don't need anything. I've got everything. I can buy whatever I need. I always used to say the evangelists, the hardest time they ever had out here in door-to-door ministry was when they got to the house that was rich. Because the people there more often than not always rejected the message. Because they said, because someone's going to come up to them and tell them they're poor in spirit. They scoff at that. I don't need that. I don't need you. I've got everything that I need. Now, this crept into the church. Out of his own mouth, that's what he says. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and look, I have need of nothing, the church says. What do you need, the Lord? I've set before you an open door. What do you need? The pastor of the church goes, I don't need nothing, Lord. Why don't you head on down the street? I heard they got a hole in their roof. We need nothing. We just gave this building we had to the youth. Youth. I need nothing. We need nothing. We got plenty of food in the food pantry. We don't need anything.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.